We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
That's when you have time to pay attention. One guy called me. He was saying, you offended me 10 years ago. Honestly, I was almost angry. He kept trying, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And he said, sir, I need to talk to you. Or doctor, I don't know how he called me. I need to talk to you, sir. And all that. And all that. He's a doctor somewhere. And that something happened in about, that's like 10 years ago. 10 or 11 years ago. When he was a student, he did something. I say, before you said you were forgiven, I say, young man, you are forgiven. You are forgiven then, you are forgiven now. You don't need to bother yourself. Why you remember? I can't even remember. I don't know it. When your heart is large, why? You have received his love. He said, we love because he has loved us. When you think about how much God loves you, it becomes so easy to walk in love. It's so easy. It becomes so easy to forgive. It comes from our revelation of him. It comes from our understanding of him. And listen, I've said this here before, and I want to repeat it. The first authentic indicator of your spiritual growth is your love walk. It's not in the number of hours you pray. It's not in the manifestations of the Spirit in your life. It's in your love walk. And your love walk is a reflection of your revelation of God's love for you. We love because he has loved us. You know, when we talk about love, there's a way religion has trained many people. It's such that when love is mentioned, a feminist concept or a something that is feminine, let me put it that way, comes to mind. Something that is weak and feminine. Effeminate, right? That's the word. Love is power. Listen, love is a power. Masukabaya. did you hear what I said? Love is a power. That means every opportunity you have to release the love of God through you to another human being is an opportunity to release power. Are we together? That means every opportunity you have to show mercy at that instance where mercy is showed, power is released. You may not see immediately, but in the process of time, you see, power is not something visible, but you can see the effect. It works like the wind. You don't see it, but you see the effect. Love is a power. Love is not something effeminate. It's not something weak. Except you are saying that God is weak. For the Bible says God is love. Now, action point. Meditate on the Father's love for you. Constantly meditate and declare it in your closet. Declare it in your daily work. God loves me. The Father loves me. And everything is all right. I live in his love zone. That's where I live. He loves me so passionately. Nothing can separate me from his love. Absolutely nothing can separate me from his love. You know, God showed me something from the scriptures years ago that I will never forget. From Romans 8, from Ephesians 3. God showed me very clearly that the challenges of life and Satan's attack really is targeted at one thing, separating you from the love of God. Did you get that? Never forget that. You know, he wants to bring you to a place where you really, really are convinced that God doesn't care. Where you really, really are convinced that God is an irresponsible father. That's where he wants to bring you to. But see, spiritual intelligence is understanding these schemes of Satan. When Paul in Romans 8 cried out, he says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Look at the mention. Tribulations, nakedness, hunger, peril, pain, death. He now gave the answer. He says, I am persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Are you here? From the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. What did he say? Never let anything on the outside separate you in consciousness from the love of the Father. He never stops loving you, but in your consciousness, you can be separated from his love. You know, Paul says something in Acts, that should be Acts 23 or 24. He says, in this do I exercise myself, to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. You know, naturally thinking, you think, you should only talk about a conscience void of offense toward man. But a Christian can be offended at God. He added it. I have a conscience. I exercise myself to have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man. There are many Christians who are angry at God and releasing their anger in different ways. They're angry. Some are told that God killed their mother, or God killed their son, their daughter, or their father, or their relative. And some religious preachers have not made it easy. A child dies. You come. If you don't have anything to say, keep quiet. Keep quiet. That is the rule. It's called the gold standard. You don't have anything to say, keep quiet. And in case you don't know, when people are grieving, it's not the things that you say that is helping them. Make no mistakes about it. Being quiet and being around sometimes is the best thing. How to rebuke a man some time ago. Someone had serious tragedy. Her husband had an accident, died with some of the children. And then this man came and sat. I was there. I was talking nonsense. You see, God knows why he did it. Okay, so that what will happen? See, the anger with which I rebuke. The man was old enough to be my father, but I wasn't happy. I said, sir, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't tell this woman that God took her husband and her children. Don't say that. Say the devil did it, and the devil will pay for it. Are we together? God is absolutely good. He's absolutely good. He's completely good. He's only good. Read your Bible very well. You know, one day I read the story of Ahab. I was so touched. Ahab was a stubborn king. What has he not done? He had worshipped idol. He married a wicked woman. All kinds of things. Killed prophets. And then they sent a prophet to warn Ahab. And then Ahab put on sackcloth. And formed like he repented. Amen. Do you know that singular act moved God? You know, God got to the point. He said, have you seen our friend Ahab? He is remorseful. Okay. Go and tell him that those things will come to pass in his children's days. I said, God, you are too nice. I think I wrote it in one of my. I said, God, you mean you can do this? He said, go and tell him. Those things will come to pass in the days of his children. God is a passionate lover. He is a passionate. We shock him. Do you understand? Somebody, did you get that? We are in God's thoughts. Just sit and I'm telling you action plan. Just sit and meditate on the Father's love. Sing about it. Talk about it. Worship about it. I have loved you With an everlasting love, I have loved to draw you with my loving kindness. You sing about it. You have loved me with your everlasting love, and you have drawn me with your loving kindness. You see, you sing songs like that, you will feel the anointing of God's Spirit. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You know, when you say things like that, some Christians who feel strong may act as though, okay, you are still at the baby level. When they hit rock, that's when they will know. Listen, when you culture, what I'm telling you is very important. When you culture your heart to believe in the Father's love, you will always be at the cutting edge with faith. You see yourself believing things that naturally should be beyond your reach. When you look at God's love, you say, "I am qualified." Oh. When you look at God's love, you say, I'm qualified. The blood is my qualification. His love has made provision for me. The Bible says we are accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. Sing about this love. I will sing of your love forever. 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 Amen. Sings under the sea. Ray. So, I will sing of your love forever. I will sing of your love forever. So just sing about it. Talk about it to yourself. It will give you a good self-image. It will give you self-esteem. Can I get an amen? And by the way, your true value is in the fact that God loves you. That's where our entire value, that's where it is. That God could love us so much. That God could love us so much and send his beloved son to come die for our sins. We didn't write letter to heaven that, "Lord God, oh, we need a savior. Please, can you send someone to come and die for us?" No. We did not even know we needed a savior. Bible says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God sent his son to die for us. Don't make light of it. Talk about it to yourself all the time. Oh, hallelujah. Talk about it to yourself all the time. Amen. You know, some people just take 1 Kings 5 also. When the Bible says Solomon, and Solomon loved the Lord. Amen. And he offered unto the Lord 1,000 burnt offering. That is the second part of the equation. Who first loved Solomon? The Lord. In fact, God sent a prophet to give him a pet name. Jedidiah. The Bible says, "And the Lord loved him." What's the meaning of Jedidiah? Who knows? Who knows the meaning of Jedidiah? Bible scholars. Eh? Gang, 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 gang. Jedidiah. It's something about God's beloved. It's about beloved. A beloved child. Or a loved child. Have it together. Have it together. So God gave him a name. They gave him Solomon, but God had a love name for him. Why won't he grow up to love the Lord? Are you seeing now? That even in the Old Testament, a man loving God is always a response to God's love for them. Meditate on it. And out of that revelation, out of that understanding, will flow a very solid love work. A very solid love work. Somebody say, "How is this related to faith?" I just read it for you. It's a faith which worketh by love. That means when there is no revelation of love, faith is inoperative. Let me point two things out for you. It's in the book. The two times that Jesus talked about great faith. How many of you remember? On two occasions, Jesus talked about great faith. Let me just read something for us. It is no coincidence that in the only two occasions that the Lord Jesus commended great faith, the persons involved were not asking for themselves. That means that was love at work. How many of you remember the two stories? The first person was Matthew 8, the centurion, who came to Jesus for his servant to be ministered to. You remember? That was the centurion. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. You can read verse 10 and then verse 13. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. That's the first instance. Was the centurion asking for himself? You know, the Bible is a spiritual book. When you see things like that, you pay attention. Twice, Jesus commended great faith. And the two persons were not asking for themselves. That means faith turns great when others are in view. Did you get that? When you are carrying others on the muscles of your faith, or you are carrying vision. What is vision? Vision is a dream from God that has impact on others. Ambition is a personal dream that only benefits you. I want to work in our company so my salary can be 1.2 million every month. That's your mission statement. It's not a vision. Amen. It's not a vision. I told you, in the realm of the spirit, what gives relevance and value to your pursuit is this connection to kingdom advancement. That's what gives it value. That's the first instance. He was asking for his servant. And then he said, Master, just speak my servant to be well. Oh, glory to God. And the Bible says he was a giver. He was a man under authority. All right. Second person was who? The Canaanite woman. Who came asking for her daughter's deliverance. In Matthew 15:28. You know, she came. Oh, God. You see, When people are still conscious, why did the man of God lay hands on me like that? Doesn't he know that my hair is fresh? You are not serious yet. You really don't mean it. I called him 3 times. He did not pick. Eh? Doesn't he know he's supposed to respond and pray for my mother? You are not ready. Let me tell you something. As long as you live on the earth, make a decision never to be offended at the anointed. It's a decision. Make a decision. With what is happening there? Some of the teachings we teach in-house, we're going to put them out there. Because many Christians don't have sense. Zero sense. Zero. Zero. If you're properly brought up, you won't go online and say, well, Daddy Freeze has some truth, sha. You have displayed how stupid and how untouched you are. He has some truth, sha, in the public space. If you think he has some truth, keep it in your heart, not in the public space. Because he has opposed himself to the body. Kai, we will need to talk. We need to talk. Listen, you have to be unapologetic about your position for the body and for the fathers of faith. Unapologetic. Whether they are wrong, your job is to pray for them in your closet. You don't carry their wrong in the public space. When you go to the market square to talk about how wrong they are, is a revelation that you are not raised properly. Because sons don't carry the limitations of their fathers public. And social media is public, in case you have not known. I love
I love what somebody wrote. He said, is there another social media platform for Muslims and for Buddhists that maybe there's somewhere else that they meet and talk? It's like we're the only one who come out to showcase ourselves there. How we have opinion. So he was like, he said, maybe there's another, so maybe you guys should tell me, is there social media for Muslims and Buddhists and the other religions? Do you see them out there? We are the enlightened ones. No, we are the enlightened ones. Let me tell you, anytime you see anybody oppose the father of faith, see it as rebellion first and deal with it decisively without apology. Not using your brain to think. Have it together. It's amazing. This thing is in the Bible. It means that if you are in the days of Moses, you go on Facebook and say, Abba, but Oga Moses, you are the one who told us not to marry outside. You marry the Ethiopian woman. No. Let me say it again. If you are in the days of Moses, you have reservation. And then you go on Facebook and write, Abba, to is well, sha, but now them tell us, say, Boku no marry outside. He marry. Go and read your Bible. Listen, God's dealing has nothing to do with how you pee. I was avoiding this digression, but it still came to me. Let me help someone. No, that's what it means now. I can go on social media in the days of Moses and write what Moses did was wrong. But who did God punish? Aaron and Miriam. God does not answer to your logic. You can't go far with God when you let those secular logic in your brain. Have an unapologetic side with the church and the fathers of the church. Unapologetic. You think we're not running NGO? I've told you, we are running a militant spiritual organization. It's not NGO where you voice your opinion. Are we together? I know I'm stepping on some toes, and I better do it fast so that it doesn't destroy you. Is it because they don't have fault? Yes! If you read your Bible, the Bible is particular about how you should respond to the errors and the mistakes of fathers. It's very clear. It doesn't mean so what about the Bible is very clear. Part of it is prayer. But when in the public space, you have no apology. Listen, spiritual things have parallel, even physically. And listen, I've told you, the Bible said the invisible things of God are made manifest by the things that are created. If they insult your father physically, amen, and you act, no, I'm serious, they insult your biological father and you are angry and you act, it will be unfair for me to fault you. It will be unfair. Fault? I know you're a Christian. You're not supposed to slap someone. I know. But that's not the first thing I will say first. Do you understand? I can't leave the idiot and then face you. Why did you slap? You responded to someone who insulted your father. And it's in the Bible. I'll find time to arrange these things and teach them one after the other. So that I don't bring logic into this thing. Human logic, that's what I mean. Are we together? Let me leave it at that. Believe in God's love for you. Hallelujah. Believe in God's love for you. Believe in God's love for you. Our generation will have Oko, and you have to be resolute. You have to be resolute. You have to be resolute about what? You have to be resolute. Listen. Look up at me, everyone. Listen. If you miss the revelation of honor, you are ground zero for life. If you miss the revelation of honor, you will be ground zero for life. And it's a revelation. It's a revelation. It means your journey has not started. We all have biological fathers now. Are they all perfect? When was the last time you went on Facebook that your father just slept with somebody in Maiduguri? When was the last time you went on Facebook? Bible calls you a disgrace. Are we together? Am I talking? Some people are cold though. You are not on my side. You know why this is important? A generation is rising that dishonor fathers and mothers. So when you go on public, you can't be like this. You have to be clear to hit them head on. Do you understand? Because it's not about like this. Oh, they already imagine. Are you hearing what people are saying online? People that go to church, frank insult. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are we talking? Again, I promise you, I will teach. I promise you. I will teach it from scripture to scripture. I talked about Moses. Do you know that God had left Saul? Not just God leaving him. A demonic spirit was oppressing him. But not for one. Not for one. Not for one did David dishonor him in public space. Not for one! He's paining me as I'm talking. Not for one! And then you think you have logic. You know who Saul was? Saul was after David to kill him. Yet, David did not utter a word about his opinion that he's a bad man. He never said it. Even in his death, he honored him as the anointed of the Lord. The man who came and said, I slew Saul. You know what I told him? He said, you slew Saul? Who trained you? He said, where are you from? That's what he told him. You know, he asked him twice. Meaning he wasn't asking for his village. He was saying, who raised you? How were you brought up? He told him, he said, go and fall on him. Saul, that was his enemy. And what happened? He began to lament. He said, oh, how are the mighty falling? How are the mighty falling? He said, say not in Gath, publish it not in Ashkelon. That's public space. He said, lest the daughters of the Philistines hear and rejoice. You make a vow. You never go on public space to talk about the figures of faith. Never. Whether they are wrong is not important. Look at David. Was Saul not wrong? He said, have the mighty fallen. Say nothing, God. He had lamentation for days upon the mountains. He said, publish not in Ashkelon. He said, oh, Saul and Jonathan were beautiful in their days. They were beautiful. He described Saul as a beauty. He said, for they move like rose upon the mountains or something like that. Like gazelle upon the mountains. You know what he said? He said, oh, Saul, how could you die as though you were not anointed with oil? So Saul, David recognized that Saul still had the anointing after everything. He said, Saul, how could you die as though you were not anointed with oil? Oh, he began to cry. God calls him a man after my heart. Untaught generation. America is not a mentor. The Bible is. In America, you see a man who poured his life for ministry. And the woman comes out that he touched her in 1988. And that he touched her. Maybe touched her breast or boo in 1988. No, 30 years ago. And then it's his assistant pastors that say he should be investigated. Not sleeper, you say he touched me somehow in 1988. We can't copy that, oh. I think we heard him. We cannot copy that. Determined accountability. That's not what it is. It is foolishness. Satan is about to destroy a man's legacy. And then you are using your. But that's how it starts. This thing we have no respect for what the people of the world say. Our honor is for the authority of scriptures. David or not Saul. Saul was an old order. David was a new order. Everything that he did for him, everything he did to him. For those who like saying old order and new order, I just explained. Saul was the old order, David was the new order. But we saw the new order, honor the old order. Honor the new order. Have it together. Have it together. It's clear. Defend the church. Defend the faith. Is the church perfect? Are the leaders perfect? No. We'll be lying to say they are perfect. And don't forget, they live in a body too. They live in a body. But God is interested in the body.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says we have this treasure. Where? In earthen vessels. In earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Don't forget, the vessel may be earthen, but there's a treasure on the inside. Don't let the earthen vessel, okay, cover your eyes from seeing the treasure. They will make mistakes. And that will not be the first mistake they will make. That will not be the last one, rather. But you have a position in your mind. I see the treasure in the earthen vessels. I see the treasure in the earthen vessel. It was Dr. Akpami that said this years ago. He rings in my brain all the time. He says, talking about Moses, you know, Moses' hands were weak. But the realm of the spirit did not recognize whether it was people that were holding the hand up. As long as the hand was up, there was victory for Joshua. He said, even the weak hands of the old prophet can bring victory to you. Never despise the anointed. Never. Never. Let me shock you. Once anointed, always anointed. Always. And it's not just for pulpit people. Even for those of you in the marketplace. God put a grace on your life. Nothing can stop it. Your foolishness may block the flow, but it's still there. If it's grace to make money, it's still there. You may become a bad man. It's still there. Are you here? Once anointed, always anointed. Always. Always. And one of the things I want to train you to have is never let mobs on social media intimidate you. When you have a conviction, don't let them. Especially when your conviction is based on God's word. Don't let any mob. You know what? Very true. You can never satisfy the mob. Never. If you want to please them today, you have to go against yourself tomorrow. You can never. They call us brainwashed. They call us pastor worshippers. What name? There are many. You can supply more. It's not a problem. We really don't care. Skeptics have no future for you. They have no future for you. Anybody that is shouting should go and do the work first. Go and do the work. Do the work. Abandon everything and do the work. Have it together. Listen, let's not trivialize the sacrifices of the fathers. Oh, let's not trivialize it. Some of them were stretched beyond measures. Let's not sacrifice it. They were stretched beyond measure. They face shame and reproach in their early days. Let's not despise it because we have become modern. Stand with them publicly without apology to man, devil, or angel. And be bold about it. Okay, people. Don't reason. If in your mind you are thinking, okay, but they are wrong, shall settle that one in your prayer closet among your friends. Do you understand? But in public space, be bold. Be bold. Be bold. Of course, be bold and honorable. Those that have questions, I'll ask you, answer their questions. Because a lot of the people are just loud. And the right people are just quiet. That's why the whole nonsense is going on. That's why the whole nonsense is going on. Whole nonsense. When did you become an arbiter of doctrines? Freeze. When did you become an arbiter of doctrines? Who? From where? From where? Let's not even go there. My concern is you. Okay. Have it together. and be bold about defending the faith. Rise to your feet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Have you enjoyed yourself in second service? Woo! Give the Lord a shout! Hey! Glory! Woo! Glory! Glory! Woo! Glory! I want you to jump and celebrate and rejoice. Glory! Glory! Woo! 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 Glory! 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 Hey! Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's not the power of God is coming. It's called another wave of God's power is on me. But we'll have to close the service. We need camp meeting. I promise. Amen. Amen. We'll see what we can. And by the way, we are having outpouring 2020. We're going to have our party 2020. By next Sunday, you will get the details. We will set the city on fire. We will set the middle belt on fire. Have it together. We will raise the banner of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will dispel every cloud of darkness and every agenda of hell. We shall have our party. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Just lift your hands toward heaven and bless the Lord. Just say something to them. Father, we love you. Thank you for his word that has come to you. I begin to declare, Lord, a fresh revelation of your love. A fresh revelation of your love. In the name of Jesus, fresh revelation. Pray, don't meditate. Pray, fresh revelation of your love. Pray the things you've heard. And Lord, my love walk is perfected. My love walk is perfected. I show mercy. I walk in love. I show mercy. I walk in love. I show mercy. I walk in love. Farago basalata kapaya. Sori bekosesha takaba. Come on. Come on. 30 more seconds. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, everyone. If you are seated, be on your feet. If you are still sitting, be on your feet. Except your innocent mother. Just be on your feet. Except you are pregnant or nursing a baby. I want to give the privacy of this moment to someone in this hall, watching online in the overflow hall, who is not born again yet. You've not given your heart to the Lord. Or you're saying, I was born again, but I don't even understand anymore. I don't know if my soul is saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand. You're saying, Pastor, pray for me. And listen, there's nothing to be ashamed of. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's between you and God. There's nothing to be ashamed of. It's better for somebody to look at you now and say, oh, this person. And then you have a home in heaven. Just right where you are, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. If you are raising it, raise it high. Raise it high. If you're raising, raise it high. You want me to pray for you? You want to rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus? You want your sins forgiven? You want to get born again? Please, the overflow hall. Let me know the hands out there. Let me know the hands. Just lift your hand. This is somebody we're waiting for. This is your moment. You need to pray this prayer. Just lift your hand and join them. Thank you, Jesus. Online, just private chat our platform. There are people there to respond to you. There are people there to respond to you. How do you get saved? How do you get restored to the Lord? By praying this simple prayer and meaning every word from your heart. Hallelujah. As our custom is, can we pray with them together? Say, dear God, I come to you today believing that Jesus is your Son. He died for my sins. He was raised for my justification. Today, I confess that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I receive forgiveness of sins. I receive eternal life into my heart. Thank you for accepting me. I declare, according to your word, that I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we rejoice? Don't forget to see our officials after service. And then those of you online, somebody is chatting with you. Okay? Don't forget to chat and inbox us. Somebody will chat with you. We'll have special gifts for you that will get across to you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout of praise.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.